Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
Karen, we begin with the latest messaging from the Fed. Chairman Jay Powell signaled that policymakers will wait longer than previously anticipated to cut interest rates following a series of surprisingly high inflation readings.
So we've said at the FOMC that we'll need greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2% before it would be appropriate to ease policy. You know, we took that cautious approach and sought that greater confidence so as not to overreact to the string of low inflation readings that we had in the second half of last year.
Now, policymakers narrowly penciled in three interest rate cuts in forecasts published last month, but investors are now betting on just 1 to 2 cuts this year. The yield on the 2-year note briefly crossed 5% yesterday. This morning, it's at 4.94%.
Well, Nathan, some on Wall Street have speculated the Fed could raise rates, but Bloomberg Opinion columnist Mohammed Alarian says there are real risks if the Fed boosts rates from here.
If inflation gets much worse, they could hike. But I think if they do hike, we're going to have a regional banking crisis. We're going to have all sorts of damage in the marketplace. And I think that is at the back of their head. So I think the likelihood of them hiking is low. Is it zero? No, they could.
Bloomberg Opinion columnist Mohammed Alarian says another rate hike could put the Fed on a path to a new tightening cycle, and that could derail U.S. growth.
Well, Karen, inflation and rates are also in focus in Europe. U.K. inflation slowed less than expected last month as fuel prices crept higher. Consumer prices rose 3.2% in March compared with a year earlier. That's down from 3.4% in February. While that is the lowest since September 2021, 3.2% is above the 3.1% inflation that the Bank of England and private sector economists had expected.
Now, Nathan, we get the latest from the Middle East. An Israeli foreign minister, Israel Katz, is meeting with the foreign ministers of the UK and Germany. He says Israel has the right to react to Iran's weekend missile and drone attack, and he's calling for sanctions on Iran's missile program. The White House says it's preparing a package targeting Iran's weapons systems, but Bloomberg's Patrick Sykes reports Iran has a track record of dealing with sanctions.
The symbolism is much more important in this case. It's more of a diplomatic signal to Israel. It's saying, you know, we, your allies, we're all here. We're acting immediately in the days after that attack. And therefore, perhaps, you don't need to go so hard in your planned military response to that attack. You know, take this as a message of support and feel reassured that we're here for your security.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg's Patrick Sykes reports the leaders of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates issued a joint statement calling for maximum self-restraint in the Middle East and warning of the, quote, dangers of war and its dire consequences.
Now let's turn to the latest, Karen, on the criminal case against Donald Trump. It took 2 days to seat 7 jurors, but there is progress in the hush money trial in Manhattan. Let's get the latest now from Bloomberg's June Grosso in New York.
The first 7 jurors were sworn in after lawyers grilled them about their social media posts, political views, and personal lives. Sitting on the jury will be an information technology worker, an English teacher, an oncology nurse, a sales professional, a software engineer, and 2 lawyers. 4 more jurors must be sworn in and 6 alternates before opening statements can begin, perhaps as early as next week. June Grosso, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, June, thank you. And company news, job cuts are reportedly on the way at Toshiba. The Nikkei is reporting the company plans to eliminate 5,000 jobs in Japan. That's about a tenth of its domestic headcount. The Nikkei says with a cost-cutting move, Toshiba is now focusing on its infrastructure and digital technology operations.
Meanwhile, Karen, Bloomberg News has learned that Morgan Stanley plans to start cutting about 50 investment banking jobs in the Asia-Pacific region this week. At least 80% of those reductions will be in Hong Kong and China. The job cuts would be the deepest in years for Morgan Stanley in China.
Well, Nathan, Jamie Dimon says artificial intelligence will transform banking, but it will also lead to job losses. The J.P. Morgan CEO's comments to Bloomberg come after he devoted a chunk of his annual shareholder letter to the importance of artificial intelligence for the Wall Street giant's business. Here's what Dimon told Emily Chang on the latest episode of The Circuit.
It's a living, breathing thing. So people want an answer. What's it going to do? It's a living, breathing thing. It's going to change. There are going to be all different types of models and different types of tools and technology. But the way to think about it for us is every single process, so errors, trading, hedging, research, every app, every database, you're going to be applying AI. So it might be as a co-pilot. It might be to replace humans. Like, you know, AI is doing all the equity hedging for us for the most part. It's idea generation. It's large language models.
And you can watch the full, wide-ranging interview with Jamie Dimon on the latest episode of The Circuit with Emily Chang tonight at 6 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Television. You can also get The Circuit in podcast form on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Let's check some stocks this morning, Karen. We're watching shares of ASML Holding. They're down more than 4% in Amsterdam. Europe's most valuable tech firm posted new orders that fell short of analyst estimates, hurt by a downturn in demand for its most advanced machines from the chip-making industry.
And shares of United Airlines flying higher by almost 5% in early trading. The carrier forecasts better than expected profit this quarter. That's tempering concerns that Boeing aircraft delays and regulatory pressure will put expansion plans at risk.
Well, Boeing's safety record will be under pressure today on Capitol Hill, Karen. The Senate is holding two separate hearings on a whistleblower's claims of poor assembly processes and shortcomings in the 787 Dreamliner program. Senators will hear from a Boeing engineer who worked on that plane for years, plus safety experts from NASA and the academic world. Boeing executives will not be there. CEO Dave Calhoun is expected to testify at a later date.
And it's time now for a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. President Biden calling for higher tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum. Now, Bloomberg's Steve POTUS says this is part of a series of steps to shore up the American steel sector and win over workers in this year's election.
In a visit to Pittsburgh today, Mr. Biden will propose new 25% tariffs on certain Chinese steel and aluminum products as part of an ongoing review, while the U.S. also launches a formal probe into China's shipbuilding industry. The steps target a relatively small segment of the U.S. market, with imports of Chinese steel and aluminum totaling roughly $1.7 billion in 2023. But U.S. officials said the announcements were designed to head off an expected surge and safeguard the U.S. market. The president will also reiterate that United States Steel, based in Pittsburgh, should remain American-owned. Steve POTUS, Bloomberg Radio.
A newly unsealed court document shows U.S. Senator Bob Menendez is prepared to blame his wife at his bribery trial for withholding information from him. Lawyers for the New Jersey Democrat asked the judge to try him separately from his wife, Nadine. They're accused of accepting bribes of cash, gold bars, and a car. In the Bronx, police are searching for four suspects who shot four people on a street corner Tuesday evening, killing one of them. According to NYPD Chief Benjamin Gurley, the victims were all shot by passengers riding on two scooters.
With two males on each scooter, abreast. The rear passengers of those scooters pulled out firearms. That's two firearms. And they fired approximately 10 rounds.
So far, no arrests. Former U.S. Senator and two-term Florida Governor Bob Graham, who gained national prominence as chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee in the aftermath of the 2001 terror attacks and as an early critic of the Iraq War, has died. He was 87 years old. Global news, 24 hours a day, and whenever you want it with Bloomberg News Now. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan and Karen.
All right, John, thank you.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart, That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
And it's time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Yankees had the hot start. They've cooled off. The Mets had a brutal start to the season. Five straight home losses. They've turned it around, moved over 500 with a 3-1 win over the Pirates at Citi Field. Mets scored all three in the seventh inning. Their bullpen through four scoreless innings gave up just one hit. A night after the Yankees' first two-game losing streak, the skid reached three in Toronto. Blue Jays led 5-1. Yankee comeback fell short. They lost 5-4. Jose Trevino drove in three runs, but Anthony Volpe went 0-4 with four strikeouts, and Aaron Judge went 0-4. His average fell to 182. Orioles beat the Twins. They're only a half game behind the Yanks. Red Sox lost to Cleveland. Nationals lost to the Dodgers. Hall of Fame manager Whitey Herzog has died at 92. Managed the Cardinals throughout the 1980s, won the World Series in 82, and also passing away one of the last living boys of summer. Carl Erskine was a mainstay on the Brooklyn Dodgers pitching staff. He was 97. The NBA play-in began in New Orleans. Lakers had a 15-point lead. The Pelicans rallied. Lakers prevailed down the stretch.
Here is Reeves dribbling right all the way to the middle. D'Lo for three. Got it! Huge three for Russell. Puts the Lakers up by four with 50 seconds remaining in the fourth.
On KLAC in LA, fifth three-pointer of the night for D'Angelo Russell, and the Lakers won 110-106. So they'll be the seventh seed in the West. They'll face Denver, who swept the Lakers last year in the West Finals. New Orleans will now host Sacramento Friday to see who the eighth seed will be. The Kings blew out Golden State 118-94. The Rangers found out their opponent first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs will be the Washington Capitals. Bruins lost. Florida won. The Panthers won the Atlantic Division. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Karen, Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures up 0.25% or 14 points. Dow futures up 0.33% or 128 points. NASDAQ futures up 0.1% or 20 points. And the 10-year Treasury yield at 4.63%.
Coast to coast on Bloomberg Radio, nationwide on Sirius XM, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and the Bloomberg Business app. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. Higher for longer. That has been the message for quite some time from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell when it comes to interest rates. But after the latest hot inflation data that has started this year, Powell really seems to be trying to send that message home to markets in an even bigger way. And for more, we are joined by Bloomberg's Kriti Gupta. Kriti, good morning. Sounds like the new message from Chairman Powell is higher for even longer.
It is. And it's kind of this almost admitting that there is I mean, he said this, right, that there's still more work to do. The last mile is always going to be the hardest. His wording seems to have pushed those market expectations of a cut potentially into next year, moving it out of 2024 altogether. So it's more a question of not only higher for longer, but there's also a question of credibility here, that is this the tool that can actually tack on inflation? And Nathan, you know well, early on when we had inflation tick ups back in 2021, the verbiage that Jay Powell and some of his critics even use is, we don't want a Volcker repeat. We don't want that reacceleration of inflation. This is kind of his worst nightmare that's almost coming to fruition.
Yeah, he seems to be sort of hoping that this isn't the reacceleration, but it's raising the question when it comes to Fed credibility about whether that last mile should be maybe a little bit less than a mile. There's a growing debate in this market about whether the 2% inflation target still makes sense.
There is a growing debate, and it's one that's kind of going global as well, because right here in the UK as well, we are having the exact same debate. Of course, setting the precedent by the Federal Reserve. But look, that's a much longer process that isn't going to be adjusted anytime soon. It requires even congressional approval to adjust that target. Something you are, however, seeing is what the inputs into this inflationary process is. So when we're talking about what's actually driving this inflation uptick, you're starting to see some of the commodity prices actually tick higher. So oil prices, for example, was one. Gas prices that we watch, especially ahead of the election in the States. Another piece that's especially relevant for the global audience is simply this idea that you were starting to yield much, much higher. A lot of the work, a lot of that kind of easing that the Federal Reserve was kind of pushing off in terms of rate cuts, a lot of that has actually been done by the markets in a good chunk of way. When you look at financial conditions, take a look at the stock market rally, take a look at the dollar rally, credit spreads have tightened. Those are all ways to kind of, through the market, without that Fed intervention, tighten or I should say ease some of the conditions that allow for things like financing, for example, in the broader market. So that's going to be one thing to watch. The bond market is another story here, where you start to see so many people piled on to the front end of the curve that their market is almost partially in control of where rates go. Some would argue at an even faster pace than where the Fed is expecting. They're higher for longer as well. So you're seeing yields tick up higher. That makes the Fed's job even more difficult when it comes to working in the opposite direction.
So does this raise the idea once again that we could see no interest rate cuts this year, perhaps as a base case? I mean, does Torsten Slok of Apollo Management sound like a prophet at this point?
it could be. And then look, it wouldn't be the first time that he's claimed that prophet status. And very easily could be. He also mentioned that some of these financial conditions are incentivizing capital markets activity, IPO deals, etc. And he's been right about that. He's really shown that kind of pickup as well. I'll answer your question in terms of market pricing here, because the market's always right, isn't it, Nathan?
And
when you look at the market pricing, you can find it on the Bloomberg Terminal. It basically has pushed out cuts all the way into 2025. The most kind of the biggest percentage you have is about a 47% odds of a cut in September, though. The next one coming at 48% in December. Remember, you're also dealing with the election story. How close to the election does the Fed have room to cut, and how many data points in between do you get suggesting that inflation has either upticked further, that this is a reacceleration, or gone in the opposite direction, then we can claim that transitory status. And right now you've had three hot prints across CPI, PPI, PCE. At the moment, three data points is starting to feel like a trend.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Kriti, but we're in this situation where inflation is easing just a bit overseas now. We got the lower inflation print out of the UK, not lower than expected, but this idea as well that the ECB could be cutting in June. I mean, look, what about the divergence here?
Well, the divergence is one of concern, and it's one that actually kind of makes the trade a little bit easier when it comes to the bond market and even the FX market. You're already seeing cracks of that, where the strong dollar story is actually weighing on the euro and the pound, because the market is expecting that divergence to manifest as soon as the summer. Is this an issue? Not really, seems to be the consensus at the moment, because it'll only last for a couple of months at most. Does that narrative change? Absolutely. But right now, you're 100% right. The ECB is looking like it's going to be the first to cut rates.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, "Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, Sirius XM, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more. So you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.